This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibodeau Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
All right, I have a lot to get to and not a lot of time.
Go.
Welcome to ENN on this Wednesday evening. Let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I don't respect the poll.
And then let's say good evening to Don.
Yeah. I mean,
that was almost exasperation, not me.
It was exasperation.
There was a lot of condensation is what it was. Oops.
All right, the Knicks shut down their practice facility after three positive COVID-19 tests. Three employees tested positive during routine screenings. So the facility was shut down less than a month before players are slated to return. As we all know, the 2021 season underway on December 22nd. So this is going to be interesting as we prepare for this basketball season because we just got through a successful restart. But now, as we talked about earlier on the show, with these numbers going up all over the place, things like this, employees testing positive during screenings and things of that nature, you have to think it's going to be a recurring issue.
I'll tell you what, Peter, the sport that has the best chance is baseball. So they had to be the first one out of the gate, and they certainly had their issues with it. But they got through a whole season, and they got a champion. And then when they're ready to start their next season, everything could be under control for the most part.
You hope.
They might be in the best shape of all, but basketball and hockey, they got a really tough road to hoe because this virus is getting to the point where it's almost out of control now. So when they start in December, it's not going to be much better.
Yeah.
And Georgia, Missouri postponed over COVID-19, the fourth SEC game that's been postponed.
This weekend.
For this weekend, that is. I said earlier, yeah, Maryland football had an outbreak. Their game in the Big Ten postponed this weekend as well. So business is picking up, as the great Jim Ross would say.
Yeah, the hockey's supposed to hopefully have an announcement tomorrow on how they plan to move forward, and it does look like they will at least start the season in four different hubs.
Bubbles?
Because they're not sure that they're going to be able to start like in their own building. So, because the biggest thing is you got seven teams that can't leave Canada, right? So they'll probably have to figure something out for at least the first couple of weeks of playing that way, and then maybe slowly moving to where they can go to their own arenas. January 1, they're hoping to get started.
We've talked about the possibility of CP3 ending up in New York next year. Here's Brian Windhorst, a.k.a. Windy, a.k.a. Windhorst at Sea, talking about the latest on CP3 to the Suns.
This checks a lot of boxes for the Suns especially. They haven't made the playoffs in 10 years, Neil, and they need a point guard. And they are a young team that need a leader. And Chris Paul fills that role perfectly. And, you know, Chris Paul here, this is a situation where he's very involved in where he can go in this trade. And I think he likes the idea that it's potentially close to home in L.A. where his family is. He likes the idea of playing with Devin Booker. And it fits for a lot of reasons.
Now, Incarcerated Bob said that he's also hearing CP3 trade talks with the Clippers, which would be really interesting.
Huh.
Going back.
That's really close to home.
Yes, very that close. Is home.
That's right. What Michael said. Caesars has some NBA futures for this season. Your favorites look like this. Lakers first.
Sure.
Clippers second.
Sure.
Bucks third.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors fourth.
Really?
Okay.
You think that's interesting?
Yeah.
Nets fifth.
That makes sense.
Supposedly, I read yesterday that Durant was playing in L.A. with other NBA players, and they said he was absolutely dominating. Dominating.
Is that right?
That's right.
It's no surprise.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And you can watch the Nets this year only on Yes.
We talked about odds of the NBA season. How about what Don's interested in? The odds for the Masters. Bryson DeChambeau
Handsome
he's
Bryce.
Tops, 8-1. Dustin Johnson, 17-2.
A lot of good-looking guys in golf, right?
John Rahm, 10-1, followed by Justin Thomas and Rory at 12.
Rahm likes to be called the skipper from now on, okay?
Beautiful shot
after
by
that
Rahm
shot.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
That was something. Let's hear from Adam Schefter on NFL
Why?
Live talking about the owner's approval of an expanded playoff if needed and the new minority hire incentives the league's going with.
The NFL owners approved a new playoff plan if necessary, if more games have to be canceled in the second half of the season. We're coming up to a time here where some teams are done with their buys, and the league doesn't have the scheduling flexibility that it did have in, say, September. And so under the new plan, there will be 8 teams in each conference that go to the playoffs. 2 more teams were added. If games had to be canceled and they had to change up the format, that's one bit of news from the owners' virtual call today. The other is that the owners approved a plan that any team that develops minority coaching candidates or a minority general manager candidate and has that candidate hired by another team will be awarded with back-to-back compensatory third-round draft picks.
Does that get into doing something really that could lead to change for you guys or no?
I mean, so you're going to develop somebody that gets to a point that they could take a job and the team's going to take them away from you? Wouldn't I rather have the player? Wouldn't I rather have the person do that job for me than a third-round
draft? Well,
that's
the point. So either they get the job for you, or if they get the job elsewhere, you get rewarded.
But what it does is just it incentivizes you to go out and hire lower-level executives that you could groom to either become your general manager or go someplace and be a general manager, in which you would then get a third-round pick. So it's just it's encouraging you to start thinking outside the box a little bit.
But it's got to be it can't be the team that hired you giving their third round. It's got to be from a pool of picks the NFL has.
Right. But it's still what the NFL is rewarding you for grooming African-American candidates. And that's because you can't pick them out of the air. They got to come from somewhere, right? So the way you do it is that, hey, that's more interns, that's more lower-level executives that start to grow within your company. And if they end up becoming a general manager for you, great, because that means you love them. And if they end up getting picked by somebody else, all right, well, then that guy goes on to become a general manager elsewhere and you get compensated. I like this plan. This is not, interview more. This is actually hiring, and you benefit either way.
Lamar Jackson was on with Rich Eisen earlier, and he's worried that his Ravens are tipping pitches, if you will.
Looks like things aren't coming as easy for you this year. Is that a safe way to look at it? That things
I feel it's a lot of with schemes. You know, we're going against defenses. They calling out our plays, stuff like that. Like they know what we're doing. So a lot of that, sometimes stuff won't go our way if they beat us to the punch.
So you're hearing on the other side of the line of scrimmage the defense calling out your plays?
They definitely do. Like runs, stuff like that. Watch out for this, watch out for that. Sometimes that's what's going on. So
how do you combat that, Lamar?
So I guess we're going to halftime and let coach, let us know what he sees upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And we just go from there.
Not what you want.
That's so easy to hear signals in empty stadiums, too.
It did feel that way last week, too, in the first half. They ended up playing better in the second half. Lamar was much better, and they beat the Colts. But in the first half, it seemed like every read option he ran, it was almost like Tecmo Bowl, Don. They called his play. They knew, which was not a thing you saw last year. Lamar was running wild, like Hulkamania, if you will.
And in Tecmo Bowl, Michael, basically, if you call the play that they're running, you have no chance of being successful.
Yeah, I don't play video games.
So if I select up an A for my play, and the defense also selects up an A,
not gonna
nothing.
Work.
You can't do anything.
Even Sanders can't work his way out of it.
No, it's true. That would be amazing if you were so good at Tecmo Bowl that you could get around someone calling your play, but it's impossible.
You know, I've told you guys this. We bought a Pac-Man machine for the kids.
Yeah, how'd it go?
It's been dark for at least 3 months now.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Well, that's on them. Because that's a generous gift.
I could sit there and do it, and I just refuse to waste my time.
You don't know what you're doing. Nancy bought this for me years ago when we first moved into the house. It's an arcade game, Peter. It's got Miss Pac-Man, Pac-Man, and Galaga.
Oh, wow. It's beautiful.
And I wore that out. I mean,
the Holy Trinity, right? Bro,
it just stopped. I don't know what happened. I just, but it broke from just overplaying because it's amazing.
Was it a sit down or a stand up?
I got all, no, it's stand up.
Wow.
And I got all these great video games.
But you don't have any interest, Don. So you have a lot of time to play these games. You don't have interest in things.
Obviously, this is pre-kids. But you know what? Even if it was working, why not just play a couple of games? Kill 10 minutes. It's fun. It's stimulating.
I don't have 10 minutes to give. I don't have 10 minutes to give.
He's too busy. He's reading Twitter.
You don't have 10 minutes to give.
No,
I don't.
He's so swamped. Now, let's... I spoke to Iron Mike Tyson a couple of days ago.
That's right. Oh, big show off. Look at you. You know everybody.
You can watch the full 30-minute sit-down on ESPN's YouTube page.
Really? You made it to ESPN's YouTube page?
That's right.
You're really creeping up, aren't you?
A good 30-minute chat with Mike about a lot of different stuff. But I thought this part was super interesting. I was asking him about concerns for his health fighting at this point, and we ended up talking about a brain scan that he got recently.
Douglas fight, you got hit pretty good, the end of the fight. But you haven't been out on your feet really many times ever.
No? Not really. I know I've been counted over, but just that, I don't know, I feel good.
Isn't that crazy, though? Because so when I look at the fight, let's talk about it from a fight standpoint. Roy has had a few knockouts at the end of his career where he was really knocked the F out. Well, you have not had that.
Me and Roy are different. You know, my brain, so they did a scan on my brain for the fight and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at so many fighters' brain, and he couldn't believe that I had such a preserved brain for a fighter.
Really?
But by looking at my brain, though, but this is interesting.
Okay.
He could see parts of my brain. He said, hey, there's violence over here. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of activity over here. We got to get that activity down. And that's irritableness.
I find it, I've always assumed that Mike could be in better shape in this stage in his life because he hasn't had a lot of wars.
He completely dominated for most of his career.
So you,
by the way, Shane Bieber just won the American League Cy Young just this moment. Sorry.
Justin's brother.
No relation.
Got it.
Unanimous, now, too, by the way.
Wow.
Let's get to another podcast of some interest. By the way, of course, Tyson Jones, November 28th is that fight.
It'll be the day after Thanksgiving.
Saturday.
Saturday after Thanksgiving, right?
Why would he ever do it then? He can't pig out on Thanksgiving.
Oh, he will have to. He'll have to wait. I'll tell you what, though. If you go watch the video, he looks terrific.
You should have asked him, why are you not fighting the day before Thanksgiving? Remember, we talked about that. Big.
It's a big television day. Everybody's home.
I love that Wednesday.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you know today I asked, I thought, one of the best questions I've ever asked in an interview.
Really?
And I could tell the interviewee loved it, but he could not think of an answer. Like he did. He eventually came up with an answer. I interviewed a rapper today named 2 Chainz. You guys heard of 2 Chainz?
Oh,
I have.
Sure, with a Z, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And he is known for like being completely over the top in terms of like his expenses and stuff. He loves cars and like ridiculous stuff, raps about it all the time. But he's a really smart dude and an interesting guy. And I said, we all know your expensive taste. When was the last time you looked at a price tag and said, absolutely not, way too expensive?
That's a good question.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I couldn't believe I came up with it. I'm generally an idiot.
Did he have an answer?
All he could come up with was that he would say the only time he can remember that happening is something like property. Not like clothes.
I do it all the time.
I never go, I got property.
All the time. I mean, I do it less than I did when I didn't have money, but now there's still that kid in me that
I know
grew up poor, and I can't, like, you know, I'll go into a nice men's store, and it's like $290 for a shirt. I go, please, and I walk away. I don't even think about it.
I got a dope pit bull named Felony.
Now,
I got four gold albums, so what you telling me?
Let's move on to another interview, and that would be Mike Breen, who was a guest on Greeny's podcast. Don and I are still awaiting our invites for Green.
Me too.
Oh, you're getting one.
I'm not getting one. I'm bottom of the barrel.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's
the filth
right.
at the bottom of the barrel. Of the pickle barrel. We're under the barrel.
Well, you came up.
You put the barrel on.
If you're filth, they sure talked about your filth a lot today. Here's Mike Breen recalling his first encounter with the caster at Fordham.
One day I walked in, and there's this guy, and he's having this yelling match with a woman who's also with the station, and it's Kay. I didn't know it at the time. And he's yelling at her, "I know you want me. I can tell you. I can see it in your eyes you want me." And the woman is saying back to him, "If you were the last man on earth, I wouldn't want you." And he's doing it, you know, tongue in cheek and having fun. And he made me laugh so hard that I said, "You know what? I gotta saddle up to this guy and meet him." And I went up to him, and right away, not only did he befriend me, but he introduced me to seven other people who were in the station and would take me along. And I, not that I was on the verge of quitting, but I was a little down about the experience. I felt like I was out of my league. And because of meeting him and him bringing me into the fold and with his inner circle, it completely changed my experience there. So in many ways, who knows if I didn't meet him that day. But ever since then, we've been great, great pals.
So many people could tell stories like that.
Now, that part's true.
That part is true.
Okay, right. So let's play another clip. Here is Mike Breen talking to Greeny about how
this whole podcast was called Greeny.
And that was... really just didn't work. Here's Mike Breen talking to Greeny about how he knew the caster would be a success.
He has never changed.
Yeah.
Despite all the success, he's the same person he was back then. He's got this charismatic personality. And we all knew back then that he was going to be a great broadcaster. We didn't know if he was going to be a talk show host. We didn't know play-by-play or a reporter. We just knew that he was going to be a smashing success. All of us felt that way back then.
Now, I contacted him today. I said, "It's nice what you said, but that is absolute nonsense." Absolute nonsense.
What do you mean?
There's no way anybody thought I was going to be a success in broadcasting. I have said that in college, I sounded like I came out of a sewer in the Bronx. I sounded like Vinnie Barbarino in Welcome Back, Kotter. There's no way anybody at that time could have envisioned that I would be successful in broadcasting. People thought I could have been successful maybe in writing or maybe in public relations, but nobody thought broadcasting. He said, "No, you're wrong." He said, "You are wrong. We all thought you'd be a huge success. We were all surprised when you did not initially pursue broadcasting." I didn't initially pursue it because nobody would have hired me.
Yeah, but
I knew this whole thing was just going to be a roundabout compliment of Michael or direct heads on.
No, it's not. I was terrible coming out of college. I'm a delight now on the air. But back then, no one thought I would be successful coming out of being a broadcaster.
But really, honestly, from a talk show standpoint.
Right.
How many really truly have the job because of how good their voice is? Right. I mean, honestly, you know, did Mike and Chris become great because their voices were tremendous?
No. But I think Chris's voice did make him successful.
You're right.
Because it was so different.
But not in the way that you're saying. I mean, Russ Salzberg has had a tremendous career. And you could tell he sounds like...
I didn't have my eyes on being a talk show host, Don. I wanted to be a play-by-play guy. You don't have play-by-play guys with thick accents. There's no way.
It's not as common. Now,
well,
I have
name
I have,
one. Down a lot of walls.
It doesn't exist.
I have a play-by-play story that you guys probably already know.
Okay. But thank you to Mike for those nice words.
I hope you don't know because it'll tickle, especially Michael. Do you guys know that Kenny Albert was calling a football game this Thursday night?
I do know this.
Of course you do. Don, do you?
No, Thursday night?
Yeah.
Because as only Kenny, please, go on, Peter. Wait, it's amazing.
Wait, so I am assuming he called the game for Westwood, right?
No. Stop. I don't think this game's on Westwood. This would be a North Jersey high school football game. His daughter goes to the school, and they've been doing live streams of different sporting events.
Without announcers.
Without announcers, but he told the athletic director that if there were ever a Thursday night football game, he'd be happy to lend his voice. So yes, the hardest working man in sports broadcasting has volunteered to do a high school live stream this Thursday night. How Kenny is that.
But it's still great.
It's fantastic.
Because those kids are going to get the biggest kick out of that. Anybody who played in the game, they're all going to want copies of it. It's cool.
It's fantastic.
Can you imagine the amount? Because
stop
knowing
himself.
Kenny, Don.
No, he's out of control.
You know Kenny.
Yeah.
He's not going into this winging it. He's been on the phone with the coaches the last three
days.
Oh,
yes.
Getting pronunciation. He's going to announce this like it's a game on Fox.
Well, not only that, the second the game ends, he's getting home and he's jumping on Twitch and calling another game. It doesn't end for Kenny. Now, listen.
He is so much better than his father.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, by the way, how do you manage to pull the only compliment that could sort of offend him?
Because Don's a jerk like that.
What do you mean?
Why would you insult the guy's father?
Because Kenny can't feel good about that.
He's the greatest talk show host that ever lived?
On this show, you are.
But, you know, if you don't agree with that, how dare you insult me? My kids are watching. No, it's everybody knows their role.
Garrett Cole, by the way, finished fourth in the Cy Young voting.
Right, what do you get for that?
You don't get anything. It was Bieber, Kenta Maeda, Hyunjin Ryu, and Cole.
So we're just mere seconds away from the National League.
Mere seconds. And Mark Canizero.
Well, we'll talk to Mark Canizero, and we'll find out who the NL Cy Young winner is. And that'll do it for ENN.
Phenomenal.
On this Wednesday evening.
Yeah, I think he's better, Don, when he's controlled, you know, where it's not like open-ended, where he
sometimes
knows he has to finish
more,
up.
Right?
Sometimes.
And today was that case.